So we begin a limud, a topic which will hopefully be useful, insightful. Like I was saying the other day from Charles Halanter, not only is limud halacha important in terms of knowing the dinim in particular cases, but limud halacha, learning a particular area of halacha also strengthens our willpower and sensitizes us to be able to practically practice particular areas of halacha. And Hilchi Yichud Tzoneh is something which will literally come up often. The awareness of a healthy, happy, holy Torah perspective is very, very important. Plus, as I mentioned at the beginning of the year, hopefully this not only are we going to be learning new dinim and new material, but also hopefully picking up new skills and open a whole new horizon in terms of limud halacha. Earlier in your career at developing Lomdei Torah, so a lot of the pieces are kept artificially very separate. In other words, you're learning how to learn Gemara, and you need to know practical halacha, so you learn dinim. But the truth is, fundamentally, they're one and the same thing. It's pretty clear in learning Rishonim. You learn a Rashba, and the Chiddush Rashas. It's pretty clear. Learning Gemara, learning Halacha, are not two artificially separate items. They're one and the same thing. The two parts of natural parts of the same process. So we'll begin, and then you get older, you advance your learning. That's the way Halacha is learned in a more advanced way, is from the Sukkot. See how the Sukkot develop into Rishonim, into Tur Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch. See how the Halacha Lamasa flows from the Sukkot. So we'll begin to get a taste of that over the course of our Limud Halacha B'i in over this year, beginning with our opening topic, Hilchos Yichud. And the truth is, one of the very fascinating things about Hilchos Yichud is Shechter will sometimes say when he begins to teach Hilchos Yichud that Hilchos Yichud is the study of Kulos. The study of Kulos. Because as we'll see when we get Shulchan Aruch, the first line or two says that Yichud is Aser. And the rest of Hilchos Yichud is surveying the different solutions that we have and figuring out when does which solution work. That's usually the way you practice one's going to address a Yichud situation. And if I'm aware of the fact that this may present the Yichud problem, how do I solve it? What factors, is there already something about the situation in place that makes it mutter? If not, what do I need to change? What other people I need to add? Or I need to change the visibility of the situation. We'll get to a lot of the details, but it's really in many ways the study of kulos. How do I manage the situation such that I have a piece in place that is matir the isur yichud? So we begin with that in mind. We begin from the beginning. We begin from a mishnah. The yichud is just about the last topic in Maseches Kiddushin. I was learning Maseches Kiddushin last year. So you know that much of Kiddushin is about the plurality, if not the majority of Masechta, is about Kiddushin. Okay. Certainly not all the Masechta. I'm sure, as you saw last year, after the first Mishnah and the first parak about Kinyan Kiddushin, the rest of the parak is a tangent, mostly about other types of Maaseh Kinyan. At the end of the parak, other types of Maaseh Kinyan, to other principles about categories of mitzvahs, about mitzvahs between parents and children, and mitzvah shasma and grama, and about the relationship, Mishnah is talking about the relationship between learning and doing mitzvahs. And then with the second parak, the Masechta returns to Kiddushin, again married, and that takes us through the second parak, the third parak, the fourth parak, and the fourth parak is really less about getting married, the process of Kiddushin, and more about whom you're allowed to marry. That's the way I said it. You see the words, the name of the parak on top of this page, Asar Yuchsin. It's all about issues of yichus and who's allowed to marry whom, and who's a mamzer, who's a nasin, and who, all those sorts of issues, which is not exactly Kiddushin in the sense of how to get married and how to do a Maaseh Kiddushin, how Shlichus works, but it's whom you're allowed to marry. And then we come to the very end of the Masechta, and here we have two topics. Yichud is the second to last topic. The very last topic is the closing Mishnah in Pei Beis Amud Aleph, diverges from a discussion of Yichud into discussion about jobs, working for a living, choosing a career, and so on and so forth. The second to last topic, perhaps one could say the last halachic topic, is the topic of Yichud. Yichud really doesn't really belong in Kiddushin necessarily any more than anywhere else, but it almost gets the impression that Yichud is not so much the last topic in Maseches Kiddushin as much as the last topic in Seder Nashim. Just like the first parak of Maseches Kelim, the opening parak of Seder Taurus, is not an introduction to Kelim. It's nothing to do with Kelim. It's like an introduction to Seder Taurus as a whole. It was sort of this general introduction to Taurus. This is almost like not so much the last topic in Kiddushin, it's the last topic in Seder Nashim. Yichud has to go somewhere. It doesn't have a Masechta associated with it, so Tanan put it at the end of Maseches Kiddushin. Marriage will come up incidentally, but Yichud applies plenty whether you're married or single. And there are fine differences that we'll get to. Sometimes it depends on whether a person is married or single. Fundamentally, Yichud applies regardless. Let's take a look at this Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Lo yisached adam m'shtei nashim pei amid beis. The Mishnah and pei amid beis. Just as an aside, there's the reason why the packet is organized as it is. You see, it's first to have first three amudim of Shulchan Aruch, and then the amudim of Gemara, and then at the end the Rambam, is not because Shulchan Aruch comes before Gemara. Gemara comes first. I just wanted to maintain the Tzuras Adah. And since the sugyas of Kiddushin started on the days and payment days, if I would put it at the beginning of the packet, then everything would be backwards. I want you to have a good memory of Tzuras Adah, so when you open up in Maseches Kiddushin, look something up, everything will be properly oriented. So here we begin with the Mishnah, Pei Amid Beis. Lo Yisachid, this is the first of the Mishnah is here about Yichud. Lo Yisachid Adam Mishtei Nashim, Avo, Isha Acheres, Misachedes, and Mishnei Anashim. The Mishnah says that the one man may not be alone with two women, but two men alone with one woman, that's totally fine. That's what the Mishnah tells him. Right away, as soon as you know the Mishnah, you say, Mishnah just, well, let's continue the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Ishachad Misyachay Mishnei Nashim, you told me, that two men, one man with two women, to use the Koran logos, icons. You told me that one man with two women, one man with two women is no good, but two men with one woman, that's fine. So Reb Shimon says, even that first case of the one man with the two women, that also is sometimes mutter. When is that mutter? Bishzman she'ishto imo. If his wife is there, so then that's fine. Okay. I'm sorry. Perhaps. Well, let's continue the Mishnah. Let's see what the Mishnah says, and then we'll take a step back and begin to generalize what we learned. V'yashimah v'puntiki. You can even not only to be alone during the day, even to be alone at night. They're all going to share a room together, the husband, the wife, and one or two other women. That's not a violation of the chiz. Yichud ishto mishamratu. If one's wife is there, there's no problem with yichud. But, and then the Mishnah goes on to say, there's also no yichud between parents and children. That father and daughter, or mother and son, that's not a violation of yichud. And the Mishnah goes on to say, there's also no iser of negia between parents and children, as long as everything is appropriate. As long as nothing's over extreme. That is...
How far does that extend?
What?
Like, does that include your cousins / grandparents? How extended do you go?
Not necessarily. We're just getting started. And part of the nature of learning from the sugya is that we're going to have a lot of questions, and some questions we're ready to answer right away, some questions we're going to develop and get there. You're raising excellent questions. But for now, before we get into the world of what if, let's start just thinking about what did the Mishnah just teach me? The Mishnah just taught me how many deen? How many deen did the Mishnah just teach me?
A bunch.
Okay. Four. Right, so that one taught me the deen of
Right.
Ish Echad plus Beis Nashim.
right?
So
and it taught me the din of
two men of all.
Good. Beis Anoshim plus Isha Achas. And then it taught me the din, which is sort of an exception to that, of Ishto Imo. Oh, you mentioned even a piece about the Pundiki, the Yashin the Pundiki. Okay. And then we also had the din of Imo Ubito. Father and mother and son or father and daughter. So the Hilchos Yichud sounds like we have four din. The truth is the fifth din, the Mishnah. Because this is din number five, number four, number three, number two. What's din number one the Mishnah is implying? Right, exactly.
We start with the fact that it isn't Issa Yichud.
And then let's break out the details. The Issa Yichud even applies to one man and two women, but not to two men and one woman. Yes. Well, it does say it. It says lo yisached. You can't have yichud with. Right. So mikolshkein. Let's keep that in mind, and let's take a look at the flow of the Gemara. We're going to come back to that point soon. The Gemara begins with a series of two questions. The first question is my timer. What's the reason for this din? Tan Devei Eliyahu. We don't see that very often in Shas. A Braiser from Bei Eliyahu. Women's das is lighter, and therefore we have this din in the Mishnah. What exactly does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. My Taima. See the first Rashi in the Gemara. What does Rashi add? The first Rashi is explained that my taima is seeking to understand the difference between these two. How come the case of Ishach with two Nashim is Aser, while the case of the Shnei Nashim Ishachas is Mutter? Right? Rashi is asking, why are these two different? And why does it matter whether you have three people, two of whom are men, or three people, two of whom are women? Three is three. Either three is Yichud or three is not Yichud. And to that, the Gemara answers, Nashim daitin kala alehen v'shtehen nochos lehis patos. There's enough likelihood, just like Yichud is asked between one man and one woman, because of the concern, the possibility, not the probability, but the possibility, the significant enough possibility that being alone will lead to not just Yichud and an uncomfortable situation, but Gilei Arayos. See, even when you have the dynamics of the situation are such that there's also sufficient likelihood of chet, of greater sin, when he's alone with two women. The chance of the one fellow inducing both women to mizana with him is not as likely, sure, certainly as just one and one, but more likely than the reverse. And that's what Rashi in the Mishnah says. Im shtei nashim, if they should daitan kala, shtei nachos lehis patos, that there's enough likelihood that they'll both agree to mizana with him. But lotira zumechavrata, so then neither one is scared that the other one is a security leak. Sha'afi tasa kemosa. They're both in it together. Then there's no. Then your presence is not inhibited. We don't assume the same dynamic. We don't assume that she's necessarily as likely she's going to convince the two of them, two men, to send with her. So if one of them is not a participant, the presence of a non-participant is inhibiting because he's a security leak. He's going to know what's going on. She's going to know what's going on. And they're going to share that information. So let's step back from it. What did the Gemara just tell us? Not what the Gemara just told us that Nashim Daitan Kala Salein has nothing, Das Kala doesn't do with intellect. Nothing to do with how intelligent a man or woman is. And then this is the context in which the Gemara talks about Das Kala. What it does have to do is the psychodynamics of flirtation between men and women. And the recognition of the fact that that everyone is different, but things are more likely to start from his side than from her side. He's more likely to be the initiator, and as such, the chances of Gila Arayos occurring in a situation where it's one man and two women is a greater probability than a case of Shnei Anashim V'Ishach. So just to clarify, this is a point that Gemara is going to take up more on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, and we'll get there. Yichud doesn't mean that we assume that necessarily, just because two people were alone, that necessarily they're Mizanah. That's not true. And the way the Gemara presents it is, we wouldn't, if a married woman was alone with another man, we're not going to give her Malkus, we're not going to give her Misa, we're not going to assume that, we might at times give Malkus for having violated the Chet of Yichud, but we're not going to apply the consequences of assuming that an act took place. We wouldn't say just because the married woman was alone with someone else that we're not going to presume probably she was Mizana and therefore she's no longer permitted to live with her husband. No. Think about it like this. If you have Edim, then you know that Chet occurred. We're saying Yichud, when a couple or maybe even three people violate Yichud, Yichud is aser if there's enough of a probability that Gila Arayos would occur given the situation. But that might be just to make up numbers for personal illustration. That might be like if two people are alone together, let's say 5% chance. Just totally make up numbers, not empirical whatsoever. Let's say Ish v'isha, let's say a 5% chance, hypothetically speaking, and that would lead to further chet. Oh. But I didn't remember.
Is it
all
the way to the side?
Okay. Shnei Nashim and Ish Echad, that's maybe 3%. And the Deiz Anashim and Ish Achas, that's already 1.5%. Just again, I'm making up numbers, and they're not based on any empirical studies that we're. And you imagine the cutoff point is like 2%. None of it is likely, but it becomes, throughout Hilchos Yichud, we're going to see that, let's say, even if it's a situation of one man, one woman, if I can introduce other factors, or there's an open window, we'll see, or the other people may be showing up, that are inhibiting factors to push the probability of this situation leading to Gila Arayos low enough that's below the threshold at which we assess. So just, again, just I'm making up numbers here, but imagine the threshold is 2%. Imagine that. If this situation is 2% just leading to the Gila Arayos, then raise Asim Mishtam Yichud. So it, one man, one woman, that's 5%, let's imagine. Even Shei Nashim Ish Echad is still 3%. It's less likely than Ish V'Isha, but a little bit, as unlikely as it is, more likely than what's even more unlikely, is Shnei Anashim V'Isha Achas. But that's sort of the way the Gemara is laying out these dinim. That what's happening is, once you have, and what the Gemara is telling me is something very fundamentally important, which is that the first, when we look at these dinim in the Mishnah, the first thing that the Mishnah is telling me in a general sense is that there's a notion of a shomer. That let's think of Yichud's beginning with one man and one woman. So that's a problem with Yichud in general. What can I do to solve that problem of Yichud? So one thing I can do to solve that problem of Yichud is introduce a third person who would serve as a shomer. Who is a valid shomer? Adding anyone is going to add some degree of shmir, it'll add some degree of inhibition, but we need to add enough inhibition. So we're saying that if we're going to adding a second woman will be inhibiting, but not enough, adding a second man would be enough. So that's But we're going to get to more details. Bein l'hakol bein l'achmir. There are times when a second man does not serve as a shomer. Times when a second woman does serve as a shomer. But for now, the sort of the opening of the Mishnah is and that's if the and a second a man can serve as a shomer, a woman cannot. But the first exception to that rule is when can a woman serve as a shomer? The Mishnah tells me. Right, if she's my wife. The woman is not just a second woman, but she's my wife. Then she certainly can serve as the shomer. We're going to see as we progress, not all of the kulos of yichud are shomerim, but a number of them are. You know, a number of different things to think about in terms of who constitutes a bal shomer. So for now, our default is a man is a shomer, a woman is a shomer as if she's my wife. Yeah. Well, oh, that's even better. More than married. More than married. Yeah, question.
Cultural.
I'm sorry?
Psychological
rather than, I mean, would it vary in different societies? That's a very good question. Hold on to the idea for a minute, because I want to take a look first at a problem in the next line of Gemara that may reflect back on this as well. The Gemara then goes on to say, what did Gemara do so far? Right. We just worked out the content of the dinim, the lamdas of what are the categories we just learned in terms of halacha, but in terms of flow of shat and tarya, the Gemara had a Mishnah and said, well, where's it come from? And my time up? And we said, oh, here's a smar that explains it. Right? So far, so good?
So far, so good.
So now, the Gemara's next question is, so where's it come from? Not immediately, where's it come from? And the Gemara gets into a whole long discussion about a pasuk. The Gemara says, "Is a Rabbi Yochanan, the Amor Rabbi Yochanan, called the Tanner Rabbi Shmaya, except from several generations before him." Ran that's what he says. Mishum usually means you're not quoting your own Rebbe that you spoke to. You heard this in the name of. If I share with you a Nodi Behuda, I didn't hear the Nodi Behuda say it. If I share with you an idea from the Rav. I never met the Rav. I heard it in his name. So I'm saying over Mishum. So here the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, Mishum, Rabbi Shmuel, we have to know in the name of the tradition of our generation, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, that's where we're naying, where's the allusion, Chumash, to Yichud, Shneimar, because of the following pasuk. The context is not about Yichud, the context actually is about, Avodah Zarah, specifically Mesis. Mesis is a Jew who tries to proselytize other Jews for Avodah Zarah. He's trying to market Avodah Zarah to other Jews, a missionary, a Jewish missionary. The Torah describes, and the Torah points out that there'll be situations where it may be, you're going to need to hand him over to the authorities as a criminal, as a Mesis, even though the Mesis may be someone who's a close relative, or someone who's a good friend. And after all, those actually are the more likely situations. You're going to be more comfortable. The Mesis is more comfortable, you know, flying his trade, sharing this message, if it's someone that he trusts. The Torah describes, Shneimar, here we are, falling into the Gemara. Where is the allusion to Chumash to Yichud? Shneimar, the following pasuk, Ki Ben Torah describes, imagine if even your own brother comes over to you to suggest to you that you worship Avodah Zarah. Your brother, Ben Imecha, the son of your mother. He comes over to you, Besesa. Torah goes on to say, if he comes over to you, Besesa comes over to you in a private location, a private conversation, and he says, let's go worship Avodah Zarah. So you have a halachic obligation to out him and to report him to the Beis Din, and they're going to handle the situation. So but Rabbi Shmuel said, one second. There are two unnecessary words, the two redundant words in the book. What two words could you have dropped? And yeah, just say, Kisisrachicha Beseisa. We have to have the Beninecha. The Chi Ben Av Mesis, Ben Av Mesis. What, only maternal brothers are Mesis, but paternal brothers don't? What is it mean? El Alam Alecha, the drasha that Rabbi Shmuel put forward is the Ben Imecha. The Gemara goes on to explain Pshul Shemikr, but Al Derech Drash, we see Ben Imecha B'Seser as a phrase, as a unit. Ben Imecha B'Seser. You're alone, then imecha, son with the mother. Lo melacha, the Torah is alluding to you, in addition to what it's telling you about meisis, it's also telling you an unrelated thing, that ben misachet imimo, but also as achet mekar reish of the Torah, that a son could be with his mother, this din, which implies this din. It's a chiddush, you should know that the son's allowed to be with his mother, implying, but I couldn't be alone with some other random woman, but my mother is mutter. She's a close relative, my mother is mutter. So that's the source in Chumash for Yichud. Now, okay, the Gemara is asking me not immediately, it gave us a source. Anything strike you that was strange about the flow of the Shach Matar? Yeah, we didn't ask this first. And what else?
We answered the wrong question.
What do you mean we answered the wrong question?
Because we said why we were talking about the women would be more likely to be seduced. We said we already know where you came from.
No, right. I think the two of you are raising a similar problem. The Pnei Yeshua, I believe, raise it as, what do you even need two questions for? See, we're asking the same question twice and giving two different answers. We want to know, where does Yichud come from? So first we gave a Svara, and then we asked it again and gave a Pasuk. What's going on? My time, I'm not immediately, aren't they the same question? Right. They asked a question, they gave an answer, asked a question again, they gave a different answer. Yeah.
Why is it the same thing?
One is
the fact that we have an Indian of Yichud in general, and one is the fact that it's the fillet between one man and two women.
Very sharp. As a matter of fact, I believe the way Pnei Yeshua says it is more or less the following, and Rav Shach in his Sefer on Rambam, but yes, he picks up, but it runs in a particular direction, that Minhag Emili usually is asking for what's the source of Chumash, which is the answer. What was that source about? That was a source for what? For Yichud in what scenario? One-on-one, right? A son and mother are alone together, that's totally fine. But if they weren't related that way, it wouldn't be fine. That was the language of the Chumash, the Seser. So the Menon Emili was asking, what's the source in Chumash for what appears to be a din daraisa of one-on-one yichud? My Taima was explaining why we expand it to some cases of three-person yichud, but not other ones. And Rav Shach picks up on that idea that Yichud Daraisa, according to most, if not all, Rishonim, Yichud is Daraisa, a question about whether the Nosei Kelim of the Rambam debate whether Yichud is an Issa Daraisa or Issa Rabbanu according to Rambam. Pashas says Rambam also believes in Issa Daraisa. But the Issa Daraisa of Yichud, which is, again, Yichud is Asim in HaTorah according to all or almost all Rishonim, but Yichud, the Yisra Yichud Daraisa is Dafka B'Seisa. That's only if it's one-on-one. As soon as you have three people, we're out of Daraisa territory, because there's no source in Chumash to forbid a case of more than two people together. However, the Gemara that my time was explaining, but we understand why in some Chazal expanded it, in other words, to make it Asim Rabbanan, even in this case, but they didn't expand it so far to that case. They expand, they created a partial Issa Rabbanan when you have three people. Three is a crowd. It's not B'Seser. It's not an Issa Daraisa. But it will be an Issa Rabbanan sometimes. Chazal forbade Yichud, three-person Yichud, if you typically, again, there are plenty of exceptions, but in principle, we're just up to the mission now. In principle, if you have two women and a man, that's going to be Asim Rabbanan. Two men and a woman will be Heter Gamar. Not Asim and Torah, not even Aser Midrabanan. Rav Shach actually goes on Avi Ezri to suggest, and then we'll take questions. Rav Shach suggests, when you think about the fact that as Beseser is in Sidaraisa, and once it's not Beseser, once there are more than two people in the room or in the space, it's certainly Mutam and Torah, and we have to figure out whether it's Aser Midrabanan or not. He suggests it's a fundamentally different type of thing, two and more than two. He suggests that once he's dealing with more than two, so it's purely a question of a gzera. In other words, like we were talking about before, if this situation is sufficiently dangerous, if there's enough of a chance
that being alone in this way could lead to Gilei Arayos. So then we'll say, this is Aser, Atu, it may lead to Gilei Arayos. Rashach suggests, but the Issa Daraisa, the one-on-one, B'Seiser, it's more than just a Gezeira Atu. He suggests that the situation itself is inherently Aser, almost like a, it's an intimate situation. It's like Kiruv Basar without, it's contactless Negiya. That's the way he sort of presents it. Now, you're being, it's too much intimacy. Forget about where it's going to lead you. This is an inappropriate kurva. It's not a physical contact, tactile kurva, but there's a kurva. This is a potentially too romantic a situation, and the situation itself is one of the broader Isurim of Gilei Arayos, like Kiruv, like Negiya. The halachic term of Negiya is Kiruv Basar, but the colloquial term for Kiruv Basar is Negiya. So he said, this is of that ilk. It's inherently Aser, as well, in part perhaps because of what it, the potential implications. So again, so you have an, let's wrap up again. You have an Issa D'Oraisa and an Issa D'Rabbanan. So again, just from learning the mission in the first couple lines of the Gemara, we already begin to have a lot of structure. There's an Issa D'Oraisa, one man, one woman, B'Seiser, that's based on the Pasuk, that's an Issa D'Oraisa. Shach suggests that maybe more than just a Gzeira D'Oraisa, it itself is a forbidden type of intimacy, unless it's my wife, not forbidden type of intimacy. Or if it's with my mother, with my daughter, it doesn't have that sort of implication. But in a standard situation, so that to be alone B'Seiser, that's an Issa D'Oraisa. In a case where you have more than two people, it's not Asim and HaTorah, whether it's Asim and Rabbanan or not, the mission says it's going to depend on the details of the situation. Two men and a woman is unlikely enough, there isn't even a Gzeira Rabbanan. Two women and a man is still pretty unlikely, but slightly like just above the threshold, likely enough that it warrants a Gzeira Rabbanan. And again, we begin to see also that essentially what we're saying is one perspective to use in thinking about these dinim, thinking about the cases, is who's my added shomer? As I have a man and woman, that's a problem. If I have Reuven, Yocheved alone, that's a problem. If I introduce a third person situation, that person might be a valid shomer. If I introduce Shimon could be a valid shomer. Then we'll get to more details, but in principle, Shimon would be a valid shomer. How about if I introduce Shifra? Well, it depends. If Shifra is married to Reuven, yes. If Shifra is not married to Reuven at this point, it seems like no. Right? Good. Questions?
Yeah. Didn't David expand the definition of Yichud? So if David expanded the definition of Yichud, that means before it didn't have as big of a definition. So when the Torah doesn't differentiate between who you can be.
Marvelous point. Let's take a look at Shulchan Aruch. And let's see how some of these dinim play out. First page, opening page. Siman Chav Beis, Seif Aleph. Siman Chav Beis in Eben Ezra is the Siman about Hilchos Yichud. And he opens up Asher Lehis Yached Im Erva Meha Arayas. Forbidden to a Jewish man, forbidden to be alone with a woman who is an erva to him. Bein zekena ben yalda, whether she's old or young. The dover is a garment of erva, and this has can cause potentially being alone has the potential, not probability, but possibility of causing an actual act of gilaros, an actual act of bia asurim. By the way, just to define our terms a little bit, and while we define, let's read that language again. But bear with me as we turn to the last pages of the booklet. Also, his yachidim erva me'arayos, perek chavez of the Rambam Hilchos Yisurei Bia. A good friend of mine, Rabbi Ezra Schwartz, is one of the Rosh Yeshiva at U, pointed out to me decades ago. He thinks that these two Hilchos Yichud and the previous perek and Siman, with the are the two topics where it's the same parak number in Rambam as it is Siman number in Shulchan Aruch. It might be the only two. Siman Chaf Aleph in Eben Ezra, parak Chaf Aleph in Hilchos Yisurei Bia is about Kiruv Basar, about Negiya and other types of Kurva, and then Chaf Beis in both works is about Yichud. Interesting. It's worth looking to see if there are any others. I don't know others. You point out to me, these two Taka are lined up. You'll notice also, not just the same number, but the same words in the opening lines. The Rosh Shulchan Aruch, as he often does,
fair percentage of the time, a direct quote from the Rambam. So you can actually follow along as I read from the Rambam. You can follow in the Rambam or Shulchan Aruch. It'll be the same words. Notice, see if you notice any differences. Also, he says, Chedim Erev Me'arayos. You can't be alone with any woman who is an erva, whether she's old or young. Davrzeh Gorim Legalos Erva. Now, what is an erva? What is an erva? So just to clarify terminology, this is very important. We sometimes use the word erva to refer to a part of the private parts of the body. But when you use the word, you typically use the word erva in Seder Nashim to refer to people. And so erva means gila. When you saw like gila arayos, that means an act of the halachic definition that the Tanam debated a little bit. An act of gila arayo, an act of an isra bia that carries with an isra karis. Now there are isra bia that are not karis. For instance, for a mamzer to marry a Jew, a Yisraelis who's not a mamzeris, or vice versa, for Yisrael to marry a mamzer, that's an isra lav. It's isra bia. There's no karis. For a Kohen to marry a Grusha, it's Isser Bia, but it's Malkus, no Karis. But you have the whole list in the middle of Chumash Vayikra, mostly relatives, mostly incest, brother and sister, mother and son's over, all those cases, as well as Ishas on that list. Not related to the man, but a married woman with anyone but her, to have be with anyone but her husband is an act of Gila Rayos. And another item that appears on that list in Chumash, an isra bia with kares is nida. To anyone, whether it's with her husband or with anyone else, a woman who's a nida, for a Jewish man to have to be intimate with a woman who's a nida is an isra kares. So Rambam opens, Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam opening up Hilchas Yichud by saying the core isra is to be alone with an erva. I mean, to be alone with someone with whom I have. The relationship is one of erva. Now there'll be bia would be an isokaris. Then he goes on to say the Rambam picks it up in halacha gimel. The Shulchan Aruch picks up in halach in Sif Beis. I know we're skipping the middle of Sif Aleph. We're going to come back to it soon, but I want to address your question first. Kishi ira masa amnon v'tamar gaza davar beis dino ayichud penuya afmi she'ena erva. He says the original Issa deraisa was one man, one woman alone when they are an erva to one another. Then there was later takanos that expanded it even when they're not an erva. So David the Gemara, he's calling a Gemara, Ram Shulchan Aruch calling a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that they expanded it first in the days of David. So a case where she's a single woman and therefore not an erva, more on that in a moment. And then Shammai the Hillel Gazru Siv Beis a yichud kusas, yichud with a non-Jewish woman. That too is not asim in the Torah. Obviously, for a Jewish man to be intimate with a non-Jewish woman is an iser bia, but it's not iser bia that carries karis with it. It's aser, but it's not erva. So because it's not erva, the yichud is not an iser daraisa, but it's a very ancient iser rabbanon going back to the days of Shammai and Hillel, and so the Shulchan Aruch wraps up in middle of Siv Beis, Nimsa, what emerges after all the dust settles, after we went through this halachic, this historical development, between the Isurim Daraisa and Isurim Rabbanan, called, practically speaking, Kol Misach and Isha, Sha'asu Sachei Nima, Fein Yisrael, Fein Kusis. I'm going to be alone with a woman with whom we cannot have yichud one another, whether she's Jewish, not Jewish, single, married, doesn't matter. When I say this yichud, unless you have one of the exceptions, one of the kulos in play, that the kulos are coming up, and that's it. Aveiron, he says, we even give malchus. Okay, the topic of the onesh that Beis Din would give, in a situation where Beis Din give an onesh, malchus marjus mijabanan, for the violation of the isur yichud alone, regardless of whether any znus occurred or not, that's something that we'll get to in greater detail on Daf Pei Aleph. Already we see, again, there is an Isra Yichud Daraisa. The Isra Yichud Daraisa is only, number one, Beseser. One issue is the numbers. And number two is that she's an Erva. As opposed to other cases where it's Asa Mijabana. Either where she's not, wasn't Erva because she's not Jewish, or she's not an Erva because she is a Penuya. But this, I want to, before we take any more questions, and before we close for today, I want to wrap up that. That the line was hanging in the Shulchan Aruch Siv Beis and in the Rambam Halacha Gimel, that David, that Yichud with a single woman is not arayos. Now, it's important to recognize that that is irrelevant bizman hazeh. What do I mean? Because now let's go back to the line we skipped in Sif Aleph or in Halacha Aleph. And he said, you're not allowed to have yichud with an erva. Doesn't matter whether she's old, she's young. Chaim Kanievsky thinks that the mucker for that line around Rambam is from the gracious Rabba. Ravina trying to ensure that some of the tsar wouldn't end up accidentally in a yichud situation, even though she was an old woman. You might say, not there's less chance that yichud with the older woman will lead to gilayos. They did it still in play. They did it still in force. Chut, says the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Rambam, mehaim in benah, number one, ha'av in bito, number two, and number three, abalam ishto, neither. And so we had here, the Mishnah had said, father, daughter, mother, son is not a problem. And elsewhere, the Gemara says, that husband and wife, once a month, for roughly a week and a half, 2 weeks every month, a woman is going to be a nida, the husband and wife will have, hopefully, what continues to be an emotionally substantive relationship, and will grow during those weeks as well, but they have no physical relationship during that time. They don't, they're not allowed to have bia, they're not allowed to even have physical contact at all. More on that later on. But the Rambam said, but there's no Isra Yichud. And so those are the three exceptions that the Rambam Shulchan Aruch line up, where despite the fact they have a man and woman alone, and they are arayos to one another, but there's no Isra Yichud. Okay, so we know that mother son is erva but not isra yichud. Father daughter is erva but not isra yichud. And anita is an erva but if it's with her husband there is no isra yichud. Give me another 30 seconds, please. So 1 second. So what emerges is the Rama is assuming, as he assumed elsewhere, that anita is an erva, and the implication is anita with anyone but her husband would be an Isser Yichud Araisa because she is an Arab, even if she's not an Eishes Ish. Not that she's married. The issue is neither. In other words, what the Rambam said and the Shulchan Aruch said about Yichud Penuya is only Yichud Rabbanan, and neither that she's not an Arab, that's because in the days when Tumah and Tara was relevant to food, everyone went to mikveh when they were Tameh, to become Tahar again. Regardless of single women who became Nidas also went to mikvah, so they could be Tahar, it wouldn't be Metameh food, so they could eat Truma and Kachem and so on and so forth. So when the Rambam Shulchan Aruch talk about Penuya is only a Yichud Rabban, I'm talking about a Penuya Tahora. Bizman Hazeh, that is never relevant to a teenager, because Bizman Hazeh, women only go to mikvah if they're married. So Bizman Hazeh, practically speaking, an older Penuya, a woman who lost her husband after she stopped being Nida, then she's Taka Penuya Tahora. But a teenage young woman is not a Penuya Tahora. She hasn't gone to Mikvah. So that's important to recognize. That is the Isser Kiruv of Basar is absolutely, Negiah is absolutely an Isser Daraisa. And the Isser Yichud as well is going to be Asar Min HaTorah. So we raise, lay the groundwork, and we will continue Mirat Hashem next week.